We're learning Shmuel Aleph, Perek Lamed. Shaul is facing the Plishtim army. David had been together with the Plishtim since he had gone to hide by Achish. And the Plishtim sent away David. They were afraid he'd be a fifth column, that when the war came against Klal Yisrael, David would turn against them. So David was sent away. David and his men. David arrives back in Siklag, which is the city where his family was. Vayhibavo David v'anoshov Siklag. When David and his men came to Siklag, Vayom Hashlishi, on the third day, Va'amaleki foshtu, and the Amaleki had spread out El Negev vel Siklag, to the south, into Siklag. Vayakues Tziklag, they struck the city of Tziklag, Vayisrifu Osob Ba'esh, and they burned it in fire. They burned down the city. So here David had gone together with his men. His men had trusted David. They had left the Eretz Yisrael, and they had gone wandering with David into enemy territory. They went to the Plishtim. They were given the city Tziklag to settle in. And now David had gone away for a few days, and Amalek came, burned down the city, and destroyed it. Vayakues Tziklag, and they captured the city. So David was gone for, in short, 3 days. When such a thing occurs, we get an appreciation of the bracha of and the Torah of Lo Yachmor Ishes Artzecha. Three times a year, the Torah says, all of Klal Yisrael was Oyle Regel, all of the men went up to the Beis Hamikdash, and they left the cities unprotected. It wasn't a one-time occurrence. It was every single year for hundreds of years. Three times a year. It was all the enemies of Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael was always surrounded by enemies. Ammon and Moab and Edom and others. And the enemies knew that three times a year you can count on the fact that the men won't be there. And very often the whole families went, but certainly the cities weren't protected. And v'lo yachmor ishes artzecha, nobody would desire your land, nobody would take it. It'll remain nice and safe. It's a tremendous havtocha from one of those cases that those who need to find proof for the veracity of the Torah, if you need a proof, this is it. Of course, we have our emunah, we don't need proofs. But if somebody is looking for a proof, this is certainly it. The fact that everyone could go and then the land would be safe. Here, David and his men were gone for 3 days. For 3 days they left. And you can see, Amaleki immediately attacked, and they destroyed the city. Amalek, just like in the Torah we learned, Vayezanev b'choko anechesholim acharecho, they got those in the tail, those at the end of the camp, those that were stumbling. Amalek is always the... They attack the weak ones. They seem to strike when the Giboyrim are not there. They like to get those that are the weaklings. And here again, David and his men weren't there. Now Amalek came to attack. It's interesting that Amalek obviously had increased so much. We learned before in the incident with Shaul that Shaul was supposed to wipe out Amalek and he left over Agog. And so... And David had fought with them, that we had before in Perek Chav Zayin, we learned that David fought with Amalek. So obviously, they obviously increased. Or it could be Agog wasn't the only one. With Kishif, they turned themselves into animals. There were more Amalekim than we would have expected after the fact that Shaul decimated them In David and Perek, Chav Zayin, Pasuk Ches, attacked Amalek. And here again, Amalek is obviously powerful enough that they attacked the city of Tziklag, and they're on the offensive, even though it's, I say, the men were away, and they Vayishfos of Aish, and they burned the city in fire. Vayishfos Hanoshim Asher Bo. They captured the women that were there, Mikoton Va'agodol, from young to old. Lohemisu Ish, and they didn't kill anyone. And this is, again, a tremendous nace that a nation of Amalek that embodies evil in this world, and such a cruel, heartless nation, didn't kill anyone. They just carried them away as captives. Vayinagu, and they led the people with them, Vayechol Adarkam, and they went on their way. To get perhaps a slight appreciation of what it means, captivity. It says in Yirmiyah, Perek Tezvov, Yirmiyah was given many nevuos about how Klal Yisrael would suffer and they'd be going into Golus. And he was told, Kadosh Baruch Hu told Yirmiyah, Im Yamud Moshe Shmuel Lefonai, if Moshe and Shmuel would stand before me, and then Davin, nothing's going to help. My desire is not with this people. Shalach me al panai v'yetzeu. Send them away from me and let them go out. Let them go into Golus. V'hoyu ki yomru eilecho. This is again Yirmiyah Perek Tezvov at the beginning. V'hoyu ki yomru eilecho. Be when they say to you, onanetze, where should we go out? You're telling us to go out. Where do we go? V'omar to'aleyem, you should say to them, Ko'omar Hashem, this is what Hashem says, Asher lamoves, lamoves, whoever is going to go to death should go to death. And we'll see in a moment, it means a natural death. Whoever goes into Golson will die. V'asher lacherev, lacherev, whoever is destined to die, whoever will die by the sword, he'll be killed by the sword. V'asher laro'ov, laro'ov, and whoever is going to suffer from famine will die from famine. Vashir lashvi lashevi. And those that will be captured will suffer captivity. The Gemara says in Bava Basra, and Daf Chesam Beis, V'amar Rabbi Yochanan kolam ucher b'posuk zeh koshem eichaveroi. Whatever is listed in this pasuk is a worse punishment than what precedes it. Or first they're told there's natural death. Then they're told those that die of asher lacherev lacherev, those that die by the sword will die by the sword. And the Gemara explains why dying by the sword is a worse death. Logically we understand hai kominavol v'hai lo kominavol. One is suffers a disgusting death, in other words, the body is abused, and in other words, natural death, so the body is intact. And when he's killed by the sword, the body itself becomes manuval, becomes abused, and becomes meist, it becomes repulsive. And it's a pasuk, V'boy Seima, it could be it's a pasuk, Yokor Beinei Hashem Hamov Salach Hasidov. It's precious in the eyes of Hashem that when his chassidim have a hamovsa, have a natural death, that's a very special present if somebody dies in a natural, normal way. So we know that a natural misa is better than death of the sword, of cheref. The next level is those that die from famine will die by famine. And again, that could either be logically that a death of starvation is worse because haikom yitztayer, it's a prolonged agony. He's in pain as the hours and the days drag on until he finally expires. And the other one dies by the sword. It's quick. And there's a pasuk, Yiboy Seimu, could be, it's a pasuk, Toivim hoyu chalalei cherev. It says in Eicha, it was better those who died by the sword, mechalalei rov, than those who died from hunger. Dying from hunger is worse than dying from the sword. And the worst, the Gemara says, Shvi is kosher mikulam. Captivity is worse than all of them. Dekulu isneyube, because a captive suffers all of them. And Rashi says, because he's in the hands of the goyim to do whatever they want with him. Im lamoves, im lacherev, im lara. He can die naturally, he can die by the sword, he can die by starvation, and the captive endures all of them. I guess he has that, or could be it's even just the fact that he has the fear. He suffers from a death of starvation, because even when they give him to eat, he's at their mercy, and or it means he could experience all four deaths, but all the other three punishments. So a captive is the worst. The Marsha discusses, in other words, somebody who's a captive, we understand he could be killed by the sword, and we understand he could be killed by starvation. But if it's a natural death, what does that have to do with captivity? And the Marsha explains, Diyesh Adam She'eno Hurgul B'teva Mekomos Medinos Acheros. There are people who just are not used to the nature of other places and countries. Umeshum B'misa Tivis. And he might die a natural death simply because he's not used to the climate, to the surroundings, to the whole way of life. You know, it could be even the diet. You know, even if they give him food, but it's a different country. With all the differences can have a negative impact on a person, and it could be they will bring about his natural death by bringing him into captivity. The point being, here this is what David, on one hand it was a tremendous bracha that nobody was killed. Nobody was killed, and we'll see the David is able to save them and rescue them and bring them back. But at the moment that he finds out that they were captured, they captured the women that were there, mikaton v'agadol, from young to old. Nobody was killed. Could be they went around the city and they saw everything had been burned, but they saw there were no dead bodies. They could see very clearly nobody was dead. So if they're not here, they must be captives. But knowing the Gemara mentions the physical anguish, the fact that they're, who knows what's going to happen to them. We don't know what's doing with the captives. And of course, there's the ruchnius aspect, the fact that and it's hard to imagine tzaddikim on the madrega of the, we have no sheiches, we don't have any comprehension of their greatness. But like when you learn in the Torah of the Maisa of Yaakov and Dina. To imagine that Yaakov, the Bechir HaAvos, the chosen of the Avos, the chosen of the chosen, Yaakov Avinu, and he had an incident with his daughter Dina that the Goyim took her. It's so hard to imagine the calamity and the catastrophe. Kitimeas Dina Vito, they defiled, they were metame, they desecrated the holiness of a Yaakov Avinu. And this is now the Nisoyan that David HaMelech is going to go through. That his wives, the wives of his men, their families, they're all taken into captivity, and who knows what's happening to them in a ruchnius level. And we'll see later on that when it stresses that they brought back the wives of David, it stresses in Pasuk Hey, Ushtei Neshei David Nishbu, the two wives of David were captured, and it's just that they're his wives. And the Mefarshim take note of the fact that it's as if to show that even though they were captured, they remained his wives, and they were not defiled, and they were not abused by their captors. But David HaMelech at this moment didn't know that. David didn't know that. Vayinagu vayilchu darkom, and Amalekim led them, and they went on their way. The Yisurim of David were the Yisurim of doubt right now, not knowing what is happening to his family. It wasn't decreed on him to have the Yisurim of Misa, to have a close relative, to have Chas v'Shalom, his wives killed. And we'll see in the end everything works out well. But you know, to picture the despair of David at this moment, this is one of the low points, in David HaMelech's life, that they were captured and he doesn't know what's doing with them. Vayinagu vayilchu ledarkam. Vayavo David va'anoshav Elohir. David and his men came to the city. V'hineh srufa ba'ish. And behold, a chiddush, v'hineh, something unexpected. They had only gone for 3 days. And it was burned in fire. U'nesheihem, u'vneihem, u'vnoseihem, nishvu, their wives, their sons, and their daughters had all been captured. Vayisa David, and David raised up the Ha'am Asher Ito, and the people that were with him. They were David's men, they were David's army. They had trusted in him, they had gone with him. They all raised as kolam their voices, vayivku, and they cried. Ad asher ein bohem koach livkos, till they had no more strength to cry. Or as they cried and they cried and they cried until they felt that their whole strength had left them. It was a crying that broke their body, that broke them. They had no strength left to cry. This whole incident with Tziklag, the Malbim, by the way, points out. David, we had discussed earlier, David had been together with Achish, the king of Gath. And he had promised that he would go together with Achish, and he would help him, and he would fight together with him. And of course the Plishtim were fighting against Klal Yisrael. And the question was, we can be assured that David would not have fought against Chas V'Shalom Klal Yisrael. Either he planned to turn against Achish, or he planned to just protect Achish without, of course, killing anybody else. We discussed exactly what David would have done had the battle actually broken out. As it was, David had been sent away, David and all of his men, so he didn't have that nisoyon or that difficulty, or he wasn't in that predicament. In other words, he just wasn't there. But can you imagine if David would have been sent back and he knows that the Plishtim are attacking Klal Yisrael? So he could always say, you know, on one hand I have a shtikla koras atoiv, and Achish brought me in and he provided me refuge when Shaul was after him. He provided refuge when Shaul was after him. So he felt a certain he owed something to Achish. On the other hand, of course, he wouldn't go against Klal Yisrael. On the other hand, should he just, you know, ha'acheichem telchel ha'milchomo v'atem teshvu poi, what, Klal Yisrael's fighting, and David should do nothing? David should stay in Tziklag. The Malbim mentions the hashkoch of Hashem, that David came to Tziklag, and his family and the families of his men had been captured. So was it, now David was putter from protecting Klal Yisrael. He had his own family to protect. Just like in Inyonim of Tzedakah, we know as Ha'ani Imoch, that your own family takes precedence over others in terms of who you give Tzedakah to. Likewise in all Inyonim over here also, in terms of fighting and helping out Klal Yisrael, David was involved in saving his own family. So David was puter from going to fight against the Plishtim. It's one of those examples where everything just comes together, all the hashkacha. In other words, for whatever reason it was decreed upon David to have this suffering and this yisurim, or this punishment. On the other hand, the punishment came at the exact moment that David was now puter from Hatzalos Nefashos of Klal Yisrael. He didn't have to go to battle against the Plishtim. He didn't have to worry about saving the rest of Klal Yisrael, because he had his own family and his men's families to take care of. So they all raised their voice and they cried. Ushtein eshei David nishbu, the two wives of David were captured, and we stress they're still called his wives. Achinoam ha-Yisraelis, va-Avigayel eshes novel ha-Karmeli, Achinoam the Israelis, from Israel. Avigayel, the wife of novel ha-Karmeli, we learned that whole story about how David had killed Novel. Novel was a Mori b'malchus. Novel had rebelled against him by not providing food. And then Avigail was taken as the wife of David, and his two wives were captured. Vatetzar l'David ma'od. Before we get to that, just to mention, again, it's Hatsur Tomim Pa'oloi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the rock and the strength. That Tomim Pa'olo, his work is complete, is perfect, that nobody suffers a punishment unless it's coming to him, unless he deserves it. David HaMelech had this tremendous Nisayon and this Yisurim and this was an Einish for David, or a Nisayon for David, or it was a Cheshbon from David. On the other hand, it's Avigayel and Achinoam were also tremendous tzikonios with Gevaldik and Zechusim in their own right. And their Zechusim didn't help them. Chazal discussed the Inin of Yisurim in different places. Just to mention some of the Makairoi, some of the sources for people who want to look into this matter. The Gemara says on brachas, certain yisurim could be yisurim shalava on daf hey, that sugya, meaning that if two people have a life that they serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu on an equal level, they do the same amount of Torah and mitzvahs, and one person had suffering, so it would stand to reason if he enjoyed this world less, he should get a greater reward in Olam Haba. That's Yisurim Shalava, the love that Hashem has for a person. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him a more difficult life so that he'll have a greater reward in Olam Haba. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Nun Hei discusses, and the Maskana of the Gemara is Yesh Misa Belochet. It's possible that somebody should die even if he didn't do an Avera. The Yesh Yisurim below Avon. And there is the concept of somebody having suffering without having done an Avera. See, even though I mentioned, obviously, David deserved that Yisurim, that's really, there are many cheshbonos. It doesn't mean, it wasn't by an accident. Everything that happened was with a cheshbon, and everything that happened with a hashkocha, and if David got it, was the Kadosh Baruch Hu decided that's what should happen to David. But I don't mean to chas v'sholem imply that it was it has to be because it was an aveira or whatever. It could be a nisayon. The Ibn Ezra says, Rav Rom Ibn Ezra in Parshas Toldos, when it discusses that Esav despised the Bechira. A very interesting Ibn Ezra. And the Ibn Ezra says like this, V'rabim yismahu, many people wonder, ki ozav lo Avram, mom and Rav, Avram Avinu left such a wealth for his son Yitzchak. How could it be that Yitzchak now is so poor that he's loves Esav kitzayid befiv? Esav brings in money, it brings in the food, and therefore, Yitzchak loves him. And Esav despised the Bechira because he saw his father had no money. If a Bechira gets Pishnaim, a Bechira gets a greater share and his father has no wealth, so Esav despised it. And Ibn Ezra says, people wonder, how could it be Avraham Avinu left such wealth and now Yitzchak is poor? It's as if they never saw a guy who was wealthy when he was young and he became poor when he's old. It's not surprising that he lost his wealth. Why didn't Yaakov have Bogodim Chamudos? He had to take the clothing of Esav. And why, how come when Yaakov went to Lavan, he didn't have any money? And he said that he had to watch the sheep. Why didn't his mother send him money? And of course we know the Chazals that, you know, Eliphaz took all of his wealth and on the way. But in the simple meaning, it seems to be he left, there was no money. There was no money in his father's house. Vavire leiv, people with a blind heart, yachshavu, think, ki ha'oisha maila gedoylo tzadikim, that wealth is a tremendous advantage for tzadikim. People think, if he is a tzaddik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give him wealth. V'nei Elio yochiach, Elio is the proof. Elio Anovi we know is poor. He had a Azor or Azur b'mosnav, he had a leather belt around his waist, made out of an animal skin. People wonder, how come HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that Yitzchak didn't have money? Maybe they could tell us, why was it that Yitzchak was blind? Ve'ein, and this is the way the Ibn Ezra, and the Ibn Ezra continues. Ve'ein lanu l'chapes. We don't have to go looking why it happens to be that Yitzchak Avinu was blind or he was poor. Ki omku machshavos Hashem, machshavos Hashem. The thoughts of Hashem are very deep. Ve'ein koyach ba'odam l'avinam. And there's no power, there's no ability in man to understand the machshavos Hashem. Now the Ramban over there argues vehemently with Ibn Ezra. He takes issue and he says that Esav didn't despise the Bechira because there was no money in the father's house. And it's not like Ibn Ezra presents the Pesukim. Big de Chamudos were not because there was only one set of nice clothing around. And the Ramban argues. But the idea of Ibn Ezra, the idea of Ibn Ezra, it's not a question why it could be that a tzaddik suffers. It is a lesson that we don't think that way, and a person would imagine that a tzaddik should have it easy, but l'maisa b'kish Yaakov leishev b'shalva, it could be Yaakov wants to have an easy life, he wants to sit and learn Torah, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, in this world is a world to struggle and to fight with the Yetzirah and not to have it easy. And everybody is given a different Nisayon in life. And Ein Lanu L'chapes, these words of the Ibn Ezra, we don't have to go searching why. Ki Omku Machshavos Hashem, the thoughts of Hashem are very deep. Vein Koyach Ba'odam La'avinam. There's no ability, no power in man to understand it. It's beyond us. We can't understand the Cheshbonus of Hashem. So when David HaMelech's wives are taken captive, it's not a question why it happened. That's beyond us. But it is clear that it's all Hashkacha. The Ramban says, in fact, at the end of Parshas Bo, one of the very Yesodistic Rambans, it's a theme that the Ramban mentions elsewhere in the Torah, but at the end of Parshas Bo, the Ramban discusses why Yetzias Mitzrayim is such a yesoid in Yiddishkeit, that so many mitzvahs azeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim, and such a emphasis is put on remembering and commemorating and living through and discussing Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the Ramban says because Yetzias Mitzrayim is the proof that obviously the world didn't come into existence by itself. The Olam is not Kadmoin. There was obviously a creator and there's a force greater than the world. The one that made the world, and it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu therefore controls the world and he can bring the Makos and he can change nature. So that's a proof that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who made the world. And obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashkiach and he knows what's going on. And therefore the Mitzrim got the Makos and Klal Yisrael was taken out because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested. There are those who believe that Hashem made the world, but then he's not supervising. But obviously Yetzias Mitzrayim shows that he does supervise. And he has the Echolus, he has the ability to carry through what he wants. And the fact that it was all foretold with the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu told Paro the Makkos were going to come, that shows that obviously there's nevuah. There is prophecy, and Hashem does communicate with people. And then the Ramban mentions at the end, toward the end of this, it's the Ramban at the end of Parshas Boy. Umin hanisim hagedoylim hamafursamim, from the great nisim that are famous, odamoyde benisim hanistarim, a person will come to admit to the hidden nisim. Shehem yisoid ha-toyra kula, it's the foundation of the whole Torah. She'ein la'adam chelek b'toyras Moshe Rabbeinu, a person doesn't have a portion in the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, ad shenamin, until we believe b'chol d'vareinu, and all of our matters, mikreinu, everything that happens to us, shekulam nisim, everything that happens is a nes. Ein bohem tevo min hago shel oylam, there's no such thing as nature, and no such thing as the world just running the way it runs. Bein barabim, both for the group of people, for the multitude, for the rabim, and bein biyochid, every individual. Elim yase ha-mitzvos yatzlichenu scharoi, if a guy does the mitzvahs, his reward will bring him success. Vim yavar aleihem, and if he transgresses them, yachrisenu anshoi, his punishment will cut him off. Hakol b'gzeiras elyon, it's all from the gzeira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The very fact that the Torah says that if you keep the mitzvahs, they'll be good. V'nosati mitzhar artzachem b'itoi, and the other brachas of the Torah, that's all a neis. It's all a neis. It seems to us as nature, it's not a nes golui, there are, but it's a hidden nes. It's a hidden nes that if a person does, this is actually what we mentioned earlier in the shir. It could be that's even more than a hidden nes, but the idea of that when people are oile regel, lo yachmod ishes artzacha, it's almost an open miracle. But the Torah is saying, you do the mitzvahs and nobody will come and take your land. That shows the hashkach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what the Torah is built on. That if you keep the Torah and the mitzvahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects Klal Yisrael. Over here, so David, the fact that David's wives were captured, and the wives of all of his men were captured, this Yisurim was with hashkacha, and it was a nisayon, it was whatever the cheshbonus of Hashem that we're not able to understand, but it was to put David HaMelech through this test and through these Yisurim. The Yisurim wasn't Misa, but the Yisurim was to, it wasn't death, but it was Yisurim of having the family captured and having David and his men suffer this anguish. The Navi continues on Pasuk Vav, Vateitzer leDavid ma'oi. David was very, very Vateitzer. He was very troubled by this. Troubled is perhaps not a forceful enough word. Vateitzer leDavid ma'oi. He was very upset. Ki amru ha'am l'saklo, because the people said they were ready to stone David. Ki mara nefesh kol ha'am, because the soul of all the people was bitter. Ish al bonav abenois, of every man was upset about his sons and his daughters. They were very upset, and their emotions, and their anguish, and their emotional turmoil was vented on David, and they were ready to stone him. They were ready to stone David. It was David's idea to go to Achish, to join Achish. So the very fact that they went and they were ready to join Achish's army, they were gone for 3 days, That's the reason why the city of Tziklag was sacked. That's why the families were carried away. So they trusted David. They assumed that the Shechina was with David, and David had Ruach HaKodesh, and everything like that David did was Bashem Imoy, and Hashem was with him. And here they saw that it doesn't seem to be that way. This blunder was not just a mistake, it was a whole proof that obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't seem to be with David. And therefore they blame David. In fact, the Ralbag mentions, it's printed in Shmuel Beis at the end of Perek Aleph, the Ralbag lists many lessons that can be gleaned from the previous prokim. And over there he mentions in the 46th Toeles, among the lessons he discusses, the number 46, he discusses the lesson to be learned from this story. And he writes, it's Lahudia to let us know Shein Royu Sheishaber Ha'odamim HaRishayim, that a person should not join together with the Rishayim, with the wicked people. Because the fact that David joined together with the Plishtim, and he was ready to go to war with them, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused V'hoyezeh Siba El Shenisrafo Tziklag. That was the reason why Tziklag was burned, and the women were captured with the children, and it was all because of that. So the truth is, when the men were angry at David because it was his idea to join Achish, the truth is, the Ralbag learns that that is correct. That this was a lesson to David HaMelech, that because he went to join Achish, he suffered this experience. The truth is, some even say, which is surprising, but we mentioned earlier that David HaMelech himself, in Perek Chof Zayin, it says, had fought with Amalek. Perhaps the fact that David fought with Amalek at this point in history, he incited them, and now, he wasn't yet acknowledged as the king over Klai, so Shaul was still around. And the fact that David started that war with Amalek, maybe that's why Amalek came after Tziklag. They knew that they had an account to settle with David. Could be they were upset because they sensed that David was even sadder than they were. And it was when David and his men, we had learned that Vayisa David, Ve'am asher ito es kolam vayivku, David and the people with him raised their voice and they cried. But David seemed to be the one who was the impetus behind it. He was the main person crying. And at a certain point, and they cried till they had no more strength. And then at a certain point they felt, you know, David, we understand we're upset like you're upset. But if you're the leader, you should do something. And they were ready to stone David for the fact that he's sitting there crying and he doesn't have a solution. Let's get up and do something. Which we'll see shortly. They did pursue after Amalek. And they did take action. But at this moment, they were upset at David that David was doing nothing. Could be they were also angry at David that David should have left over some men to protect the city. Again, we're not being Euler Regal now, where the Torah promises everyone should go and don't worry. Here you're going to join Achish. So even if you think it's a good idea, they should have left back some men to guard the city. The fact that everyone went was, again, that was David's decision, they went along with it. And they were bitter, Ishal Bonov al Benoisov, every man on his sons and on his daughters. And some of Forsha mentioned that point also. I'm not sure exactly what to do with this, but the main concern wasn't the wives, and they felt that the wives would be able to be protected and that nothing should happen to them when they were captives. But if they're carried off by Amalek, what about the little children? What about the Bonav of Benoisov? The boys and the girls, and they're going to be raised in among Amalek, they're going to be lost to Klal Yisrael, the classical example of the Tinuk Shenishpa. What about the children? And that's why they were upset. Vayischazek David Vashem Elokov. And David was mischazek, he strengthened himself with Hashem. It's mashma that David strengthened himself, but he couldn't be mechazek his men. They weren't, at this point, they were not able to hear consolation. They couldn't hear chizek. This was not the time to give them a shmooze. They needed to see action. They needed to see success. They needed to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was still with them. But vayischazek David, David was mischazek himself, b'Hashem Elokov. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'Hashem Elokov. And this is again a little glimpse of the greatness of David, which is the idea of tzara v'yogon emtza, that when you're in a case of difficulty, and in a case of yogon, the depression, in the worst situations, uv'shem Hashem ekri, you turn to Hashem. There's some people that can be hit by calamity, and they think of all the ideas that they could do, and everyone they turn to in their desperation, and they don't turn to Hashem. They don't think of Hashem. But David HaMelech was a tzor of yogon emtza uv'shem Hashem ekra. And the same David HaMelech is kos Yeshua sesa, when he has the cup of salvation, when he's celebrating success and victory. It's kos Yeshua sesa, and again uv'shem Hashem ekra. In other words, he was with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all situations, through the thick and the thin, the good and the bad, the summer and the winter. And David HaMelech is the one who expresses the emotions of Klal Yisrael. And that's the truth, is that's the way Klal Yisrael as a nation reacts. It's ours, it's our mission in life to make that on an individual basis the way we go through life. But Klal Yisrael as a nation has that feeling of David HaMelech, that we know that everything good and bad, it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are different shluchim, there are messengers that give us the good and the bad, but it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayischazek David v'Hashem Elokov. David was mischazek with Hashem Elokov, his Elokim. There's a personal relationship. It's his God. It's Hashem Elokov, his Hashem. David said the capital in Tehillim, the David Hashem Oiri V'Yishi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my life, my light, V'Yishi and my salvation, my Yeshua. Bikroiv alayv mereyim lecho es besori. When the evil people come, gather to war, they approach. Lecho es besori, to consume my flesh. And the basar here could be referring to his wives. Achatzmi uvesori yota. The basar can mean a relative, a close relative. And kim she'eroi hakarov eilov. She'ero means also, it can mean my ear, flesh, etzmei, atzamei, uvosar, mi besari. It's the bosar, lechol es besari, ti my bosar, means the evildoers came to take my wives. Tzarei v'oivai li. And they were my enemies. Intachna alay machanef. You gathered together the army. Bezois ani voteach. I put my trust. Bezois ani voteach. And there's a medrash that says Bezois is referring to the pasuk Bezois li Yehuda vayoymar Shema Hashem kol Yehuda, the havtocha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with Yehuda, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will hear his voice. Velamo tivienu yodav ravloi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help David HaMelech, who comes from Yehuda to fight. So Bezois ani voteach, I put my trust, my bitochon, in the fact that you promised Bezois li Yehuda, that Yehuda will overcome over the enemies. That's the way David was able to deal with this tragedy, with this nisoyon. David was mischazek, he strengthened himself with his bitochon b'Hashem Elokov and Hashem, his Elokim. At this point, it was the low point, his world looked dark. In other words, his two wives, it looked like a disaster. His two wives were captured, the families were taken, his men were ready to stone him. It was one of the very low points in David HaMelech's career. And yet, looking back, just a short time later, it's like the whole picture is different. He's going to end up saving his wives and their families. Nobody was hurt. Nobody was killed. And not only that, but the Ralbag mentions, and over there when he discusses the Toelas, the lessons and what we can gain from these stories, the Hashkocha on David HaMelech of Hashem was that the officers of the Plishtim didn't agree to have David go to them with war. They sent David back. Or as if David would have been kept with the Plishtim, he would have had that problem exactly how to help Klal Yisrael when he's with the enemy, and should he turn against Achishuad, let him in and helped him, David would have been caught in that difficult situation. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused that the officers of the Plishtim refused to have David with them in battle. They were afraid he'd become like a fifth column. He'd turn against them. So they sent David back. David came back to Tziklag and he saw that the city was burned and all the people were captured. He went after Amalek, we're going to learn, and he defeated Amalek and he saved everybody. And not only that, but he took a tremendous wealth, because Amalek had not only conquered Tziklag, they had attacked a lot of the other areas and taken all of their wealth. So imagine David HaMelech losing a few million and coming back home with a few hundred million, you know, whatever, in wealth. In other words, he came back with a much greater fortune than he had ever lost to begin with. V'hine hoya bazeh ha'yishara el shetagia ha'malucha le'David. This was what helped David gain the Malchus. Biros Yisrael hatzlachoso. These are the words of the Ralbag. Klal Yisrael saw his success. They saw the success of David, that now David also was tremendously wealthy. He defeated Amalek, and he got all of that wealth. So seeing the success of David was a reason that they felt HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with him and they should make him the king. But so it comes out one moment, it looks like utter despair. It looks like it couldn't be worse. Everything's captured, it's ended, it's total destruction. And yet, a moment later, he catches up with Amalek, he defeats them, everyone's safe and sound, and now David has a tremendous wealth, and everyone acknowledges that David HaMelech is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with David. It's a lesson that applies to all of us in our lives, and the truth is, it happens many times, and we neglect to write it down. I know we all have those stories where a person sees the hashkocha and there's some type of crisis and a person somehow comes through, and many times a person actually gains from the experience, and he's better off than he was had the misfortune never occurred. And that's the lesson that we see here from David. The Tzar of Yogon Emso V'Shem Hashem Ekra, that in the times of difficulties, if he's able to call out to Hashem, he's able to be Mischazik B'Hashem Elokov, to have that personal Shaychus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to realize that for Klal Yisrael, as the Ramban said in the end of Parshas Bo, that everything is a Nes Nistar, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Hashkocha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is supervising everything. And it's hard for us to understand that, but imagine if we had some type of imagine if HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know, we're sending down a neshama. We're sending down a neshama and we'd like to give a certain test. And I want you all to pretend to play a certain role, and everybody's doing what they're doing in life just for you. You get caught in a traffic jam, the traffic jam is just for you to see how you react. And if the car, and if the somebody else's car breaks down, it's just to see how you react. Are you going to help them? Are you going to feel bad for them? Are you going to whatever? Just to see everything that happens to everybody in the whole world that you hear about is just there to see how you, how you'll respond and what you will take from it, and how, and whether you'll gain or you'll lose in your avodas Hashem. And the same way, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, and everything is there for me, everything's also there for you, and everything's there for the other person. Which of course is something that we wouldn't be able to orchestrate, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Atzur Tamim Pa'aloi, works it out that everything is done perfectly with a cheshbon for everyone. And here David HaMelech, who's able to take that, take the difficulties, and be mischazek through Hashem, is the one that we'll see leads to the Kos Yeshua Sesa, to raising the cup of salvation and getting back the tremendous wealth from Tziklag that will enable him to eventually become the Melech Yisrael. There's another aspect of David HaMelech's Nisayon that we should spend a few moments talking about. We discussed how David had the Nisayon of having his wives and the families of his men were carried away in captivity. And captivity being a shavui is worse than the other punishments. It's worse than death and death by the sword and by starvation. It's the all of the fear and the terror and the possibility of every kind of suffering to be brought on the person. Hashem Yirachem. A shavui is a terrible, terrible thing. But I'd like to mention another aspect of David HaMelech's Nisayon. We've mentioned in the past, David HaMelech did not have the natural backing and support and encouragement that a person normally needs in order to reach his potential. When Shmuel came to the family of Yishai, and he was looking for one of the sons who would become the king, he didn't think of even asking. He didn't think it was David. He thought it was the other sons. And after all the sons went through and it wasn't any of them, he asked Yishai, is any other sons not here? And then they thought, oh yeah, David's by the sheep. He wasn't even brought as a consideration to be king. His family did not have that regard for him. And even though his father Yishai was one of the greatest tzaddikim, but there were questions about David HaMelech's Yichus, whether he was even allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. There was always that negative and that derogatory, and people looked down on David. And when we get into Shmuel Beis, and we learn more what happened later in David's life, we'll see it even more and an even greater, to a greater extreme. People accused David of doing the worst Averis. But the idea that David here was a loner, or he didn't have the backing of Klal Yisrael, he didn't have the backing of his Shevet, he had a group of men who were with him, but at this moment his men were ready to stone him. There was such a sense of frustration and yush and despondency, but Tetzar leDavid me'oid, it was a very difficult situation for David. Ki amru ha'am l'saklo, the people said to stone him. Ki mara nefesh kol ha'am, the soul of all the people was bitter. It's like the Torah, the Navi stresses every word here. Ish al bonov al benosov, every man had his sons and his daughters. Everyone had his personal grief, and they all vented it at David. It was David's fault. So David looks around in the world and he has no one. He doesn't have the backing of his father's family. He doesn't have his wives. He doesn't have his children here. He doesn't have his men. He has no one. There's a Gemara in Tainus, a well-known Gemara in Tainus, Dav Chof Gimel. The Gemara discusses Choni Hamagol, a story that discussing on the Pasuk, he didn't understand the Pasuk, Shir Hamalos B'Shuv Hashem Es Shivas Tzion Ayinu K'Cholmim, that when Hashem brings back the captives from Tzion, those who went into Golos after the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and we're going to be brought back and we'll have the Beis HaMikdash again, Ayinu K'Cholmim, it's like we were dreaming. What? It was like a dream. The question is, it was a 70-year Golos. Is there anybody who sleeps for 70 years? And the Gemara discusses how he went on the road and he saw a person planting a charuv tree, a carob, a buxer tree, and he said, how many years does it take to produce fruit? And he said, 70 years. Are you sure you're going to live 70 years? And he responded, no, listen, when I was born, the world had a charuv tree, had buxer trees. I'm planting it so that my children will have. Choni Hamagol ate, fell asleep, and a rock came up and surrounded him so nobody noticed him, and he slept for 70 years. When he got up, he saw somebody picking fruit from that tree. So he said to him, did you plant this tree? And he said, no, I'm the grandson of the one who planted it. So Choni Hamagol realized that obviously he slept for 70 years. You know, he noticed when they planted the sapling, he saw the tree, and now it's producing fruit. Obviously, he must have slept for 70 years. And he saw a donkey. He saw his donkey had given birth to already flocks and flocks of sheep. It was a lot of things that happened in this time. He went back home and he asked, is the son of Choni Hamagol alive? And they said, no, his son's not alive. His grandson's alive. It's an interesting story. Exactly what the lessons and what the deeper meanings behind the story is something to study. But he came home and he said, "I'm Choni Hamagol." They didn't believe him. He went to the Beis Medrash and he heard the Rabbanan talking and discussing learning, and they said, "There's a clarity now in the hearing Shmaitzin. It's as clear as in the days years of Choni Hamagol." Because when he came into the Beis Medrash, every question that the Rabbanan had, he could answer. So he told the people, Anonihu, I am him. I'm Choni Hamagol. They didn't believe him. V'lo avdi le yikara kidemi voile. Listen to these words of the Gemara. V'lo avdi le yikara. They didn't do for him honor kidemi voile that like he deserved. This was Choni Hamagol, and they didn't believe that it was him. They thought it was an imposter. Cholash, now there's no question, if a guy were to walk in today, just try to imagine, if somebody would walk into the Beis Medrash today and announce that he was Rabbi Akiva Eiger. See, you wouldn't have to argue with him, are you Rabbi Akiva Eiger or not, and discuss, you do believe him, you don't believe him. It's very easy. Anybody who's, you get the person who's the greatest chacham in the area, and let him talk to him in learning, and you'll see soon enough that it's not him. We don't have a Rabbi Akiva Eiger nowadays. If somebody walks into the Beis Medrash and he says he's Choni Hamagol, so let them speak to him in learning. If you're Choni Hamagol, let's see what you know. It would seem that when Choni Hamagol came to the Beis Medrash, he did know his learning, and he was able to discuss learning. And everybody who talked to him realized that he's a great person, and they honored him like a great person. This is a tremendous chacham, a gadol who came to the town. But they didn't believe it was Choni Hamagol. You're great, but you can't be Choni Hamagol. Choni Hamagol disappeared 70 years ago. We don't know what happened to him, but he disappeared 70 years ago. Lo avdi le yikara kinemi voile. They didn't give him the honor like a Choni Hamagol deserves. Cholash daite. He felt bad. Boy rachmi, and he was mispalel umis, and he died. In other words, he just couldn't go on like this. In other words, his whole essence was being denied to him. In other words, they didn't believe he was who he was. Amar Rava. Rava said, Hainu da Amri Inshi. That's what people say. O Chavrusa, O Misusa. Either you have to have a Chavrusa, a companion, somebody, a friend. O Misusa, or the alternative is death. As Rashi says, Im ein chaverov shel odom, no hagin bo kovod kivit chila. If the chaverim of a person are not noyig with him kovod, kivit chila, like they were noyig initially, noyach lo se sheyomus, it's preferable for him to die. And it's something that is, it's really a deep concept, and it's something that really requires a lot of thought. But kavod, honor, is a very it's a very special quality, and it's very important in terms of a person's makeup. It's not just a hanah, a pleasure of this world. There's certain pleasures that are very physical. A guy eats a good meal and he enjoys the meal, that's a physical pleasure. The pleasure that somebody has of kavod, of honor, well, what's so special about it? What difference does it make to you if a person shows you the kavod and the deference that he shows you the respect? What is the significance of kavod? Kavod is an appreciation of a person's worth. Or as if you treat somebody with kavod, you acknowledge his value. Everything has value. You can put a value on the shtender, you can put a value on a car, and you can decide the price of a house. How do you decide the value of a person? You show the value of a person by the way you honor him. So kavod is showing the worth of an item. And if a person's chaverim don't give him that kavod, It's almost like he feels his existence doesn't exist. David HaMelech had that nisoyon. The men that were backing him, it wasn't his family, it wasn't his shevet, not the tribe of Yehuda, it wasn't Klal Yisrael, it was his few hundred men, and now the people that were with him were ready to stone him. David HaMelech is able to overcome that nisoyon also. Vayischazek David v'Hashem Elokov, and he strengthened himself with his emunah and bitachon on Hashem. For sponsorship opportunities, please call 718-436-3024. Thank you.